Welcome back to Word on the Hills with me, Felicity Sidnell-Reed, my co-host today, Chris Cameron, and our guest this week, poet and novelist J.D. Carpenter. So, David, your first series at the racetrack and other sort of sports arenas provides the atmospheric setting and the gritty characters, but they also have a more general theme. The main character tries to come to terms with himself and looks for some meaning in his life. Is that true, would you say?
Yeah, I think it is. I realized after the first or second of the Campbell Young novels that my theme was redemption.
Yes.
About a man who'd kind of been knocked down to the canvas for various reasons and was struggling to get back on his feet.
Yes. Certainly they were very gripping.
Well, thank you.
Books. But now to the more recent ones, because they seem to be really quite different in mood. The first, The County Murders, has been published by Cressy Lakeside Press, and the second, The Lake Pirates, will be released later in 2020. So it sounds as though this is going to be a very different series from your earlier one, in both its setting and characters. So tell us how the idyllic setting of Prince Edward County influenced the writing and the nature of the book.
As it happens, I moved from Toronto down to Prince Edward County and decided to set my next novel there. I wanted to get away from police work. It requires a lot of research if you use a policeman as your protagonist. You have to get everything right, the kind of gun he uses and all the protocol, etc.
Yeah.
And because the wine industry was just starting up at the time, I decided to use it as part of my book. And so the first book, The County Murders, is about the murder of a vintner. Because it's set in the country, it's an entirely different setting, as you note.
And your protagonist there is the young man, the reporter.
Having a bit of a history in journalism, I figured this would be a good way to go, making Joe Horn my protagonist. As he likes to say, he's the lead, or should he say, only reporter for the Saybrook Independent.
What's he like, this fella?
I think he's an extension of the redemption theme. He's got some scars and some track marks on him, but he meets his wife, Shelley, down in the county, and she's a local librarian, and she becomes his Rock of Gibraltar.
What about the unfortunate victim?
The unfortunate victim only appears in chapter one. When I wrote my first one, The Devil and Me, my editor at McLellan Stewart, Dinah Forbes, who's a bit of a legend amongst editors, told me there's really only two rules to writing a murder mystery. One, you have to have a dead body at the beginning. And two, either you catch the killer at the end or you leave the ending open so that you can then continue it and make it into a series. I stuck with the first rule, so I always provided a body at the beginning. That's true of 74 Miles Away and Brightskill.
So do you think your work as a poet has had an impact on your prose writing?
Huge impact, because poetry taught me how to write economically, how to say only what needed to be said, because that's what poetry is all about. It's about it's all lean, no fat. I try to bring the same approach to my prose writing.
And you're publishing now with Cressy Lakeside Publishing, so tell us about it. It's a cooperative. How does it work?
Well, Sheila Mathers and Peter Blendell, who's the third member of our triumvirate, decided to put together this literary co-op. I had published traditionally for a long time and had grown very frustrated with it. Too few of the decisions that had to be made were up to me. I didn't have much say about the book cover or the font or the quality of the paper or anything like that, which really bothered me. So I decided, along with these two partners of mine, to form a literary co-op. So the way it works is that we pay for our own publication. We use Marquis Printing in Quebec, who printed my last few traditionally published books. And they're very high quality. We do a really top-notch job of putting our books together, and the same goes for the editing and the copy editing.
And now, I have to ask you, you only accept books by people who live in the county, do you?
So far, that's been true. But We don't have a hard and fast rule about it. We thought there would be a lot of people submitting manuscripts to us, but there have been a few. Mm. We've rejected a few. Even though we're a self-publishing operation, we have our very high standards.
Yeah, so, well, how about reading to us from one of your county set murder mysteries?
I would be happy to. I'll read the first couple of pages from The Lake Pirates, the book that will be coming out in April. Brad Pogue phoned me at work. "The Cork at noon," he said. "I'm buying." "What's up?" I said. "Something I want to discuss with you." When I arrived at the Cork Lounge, Brad was sitting at the bar. Of the half-dozen eateries in Saybrook, the Cork is the nicest. Oak wainscoting, brass fixtures, Brad's kind of place. As I settled myself on the stool beside him, he lifted an empty martini glass, waggled it at the bartender, and said, "A fresh one, Donald, and another for the town scribe." I shook my head. "Just water, thank you, Donald. Unlike my friend here, I have to work for a living." I turned to Brad. "So, what's up?" "A proposal," he said. "I'm going away in September, and I want you to look after my island while I'm gone." "Where are you going?" "Argentina, to learn how to make a decent Malbec." Brad had been a software guru in Toronto. He sold his business for several $1 million, moved to Prince Edward County, bought 50 acres of stony ground, and became a vintner. On a whim, he also bought Little Hat Island, the island in question, and the cottage thereon. He and I have known each other since he was a suspect in the county serial killings in 2012. In my capacity as lead reporter, only reporter would be more accurate, for the Saybrook Independent, or Indy as it's known around here, I investigated the case and helped exonerate him. "Can't you just lock the door and store the boat?" I said. The boat was Chiller, a beautiful shepherd cruiser he'd paid more money for than the average benefactor spends on a hospital wing. He nodded his aristocratic head. "I could, but if there isn't a human presence on the island, the Lake Pirates might come and steal all my bric-a-brac, lawn chairs and wind chimes and so forth." "Lake Pirates? What, do they sail around in galleons, skull and crossbones?" "No, these are your modern pirates. They use Boston whalers mostly, or pontoon boats, boats they can heap tons of treasure on. They do most of their raiding during the spring or fall when the cottagers are at home in the city." "I'm not reassured," I said. "Joe, it's only 7 weeks." 7 weeks? I thought we were talking 1 week. I can't ask Carl for 7 weeks. He'd have a bird. Carl Bilsma is my boss at the Indy. "Take a leave. I'll pay you handsomely. And furthermore, I'm married, as you are well aware. Shelley can come too. Why wouldn't she? Because she, like me, has to work. I'll pay you both handsomely. It's perfect. You'll have peace and quiet coming out the wazoo, and all the time in the world to work on the big one you've been nattering about for as long as I've known you." Brad was referring to my desire to write a novel, something more lasting than the here-today-gone-tomorrow articles I write for the Indy, which consist primarily of stories about euchre tournaments, church socials, and cats being rescued from trees. "I don't know," I said. "I'm partial to living in a pirate-free environment. And what if something goes wrong? What if the cottage burns down or your boat sinks?" He lifted his Roman nose. "I'll leave a list of emergency numbers. I'm telling you, Joe, all you've got to do is put gas in the boat and feed yourself. I'll even leave an extra tank of propane for the Broil King, just in case you run out. What do you say?" "So you're saying I get to drive Chiller?" "I'm most definitely not saying that. First of all, you'd need a boating license, which I assume you don't have." I shook my head. "And second, I'm the only one that drives her." "Then how am I supposed to get back and forth to the mainland if I need to run errands?" "There's a tin boat you can use, or there's always the water taxi." "Sounds inconvenient," I said, "and if there's one thing I can't abide, it's inconvenience. Keep the big picture in mind, Joe. You get to write your book." I paused. "Despite the possibility of pirates," I said, "it is tempting. So what do you say? Are you in?"
Well, maybe he's braver than he sounds.
Well, of course, he does accept the offer, and he goes and lives on the island.
Right.
And then, of course, the Lake Pirates will make an appearance.
Mm-hmm. Does Cressy publish e-books?
Not yet. At the moment, we just publish trade paperback.
And so where can readers buy them?
You can buy them in the county at a number of different stores, including Books and Company, which is the bookstore in Picton, and many other small stores in Wellington and Bloomfield and other places around the county. You can also buy them at Novel Ideas in Kingston, and Chapters in Belleville carries my books as well. And you can order them online if you go to cressylakesidebooks.ca.
We've been speaking with J.D., David Carpenter, poet and novelist. Many thanks, David, for coming in today and talking about your books. To connect with us, please send comments, queries, or suggestions for whom we might interview in future programs to us at our website, wordonthehills.com, where all these programs are archived and available to listeners at any time. We'd love to hear from you. Thanks for tuning in. We hope you'll join us for another program next week on Northumberland 89.7, Truly Local Radio.